This is the start of day two at Odd Camp 13, and honorary HPR member Pete Cannon is going to do an interview for us. Morning, Pete.
All right, there, how are we doing? Okay. Oh, no, you're going to do it now. We're talking now. Do you want to sit down? You can sit down here. You sit down. So we're recording right now. There you go. There you go. So, Vicky, yes, it's on. Do you want to say hi to the listeners?
Hello, everybody.
And I believe, what are you going to talk to us about? Because I believe you've got quite a few subjects that you'd like to talk about. No, you're shaking your head.
I'll just talk about the girl guiding.
You're going to talk about a girl guiding? Don't you want to talk about, I think they might like to hear about your ideas for Odd Camp next year, or was it Kids Odd Camp, I believe?
I was going to say Junior Odd Camp, yep. But they came up with a better name, Odd Camp for the Future, because they are the future, the kids are the future. So, I mean, the older kids might like that better than Junior Odd Camp. It sounds a bit childish.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah. So, what would you like to see at that sort of event?
I'd like to see more of the crafting side as well as the technical side, but maybe if they could mix the two together, because the Girl Geeks have mixed the two together. They've put crafts and the technical side together. But I'd like to see what the kids could do with, maybe if we started a project and they could expand on it. And maybe they could give some talks as well.
Yeah. And
maybe a junior podcast.
Cool. I mean, I take it that obviously you want to be inclusive of both boys and girls.
Yeah. And I don't know about ages.
Okay. But I mean, what age would you really like to be targeting? Is there a specific age group, or are you just not bothered?
Well, Jack's 7, and I'd say that he can pretty much do most stuff, so 7 and above, maybe.
Good, yeah. Good. And, I mean, obviously, I would take it that you would like some assistance in that. Maybe some people could bring equipment, that sort of thing.
It'd be nice if anybody knew if we could get sponsors. If anybody knew about, you know, interested in getting kids into technology, that would be nice. It'd be nice if we could subsidise the stuff, you know, the projects and, you know, maybe whatever anybody wanted to donate. Or
maybe we can get some big companies like Siemens or something like that to give
you
some money.
Yeah, a massive company, get the kids into coding and into the future.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But about girl guiding, it's about if anybody wants to help at any point, then that'd be nice, because I know my husband's helped us because we're going to get the brownies building robots. If anybody wants to help for just an hour a week, it doesn't take much.
And what kind of things go on at these Girl Guide events? Because, I mean, obviously, I don't know. My children never went, unfortunately.
Right, it's about just getting the kids involved in anything and everything. We've done all sorts of stuff. We went on a bat walk a couple of weeks back, and what else have we done? We are building the robots. We're doing an entertainer's badge at the moment, so they're getting all involved in the theatre and everything. So it's girls, but it's about getting girls involved in anything and everything. We've done a county bake-off, like the Great British Bake-Off Challenge.
Okay. I mean, in my day, I don't know, perhaps hopefully you can enlighten me and see if this has changed. I mean, it used to be sort of heavily church-involved, especially the Cubs and whatever. Has that changed, or is that still the case now?
No. Because of different religions, you're not allowed to enforce that people say, hey, I have to go to church, because it is different religions. But we do explore everything, and the word God has been taken out of the promise anyway.
Okay.
But we do go to church, but we don't say that you have to. But so, it's a nice part of it.
Okay.
I enjoy that part of it. So.
And so it is, in actual fact, now it is a multi-faith organisation.
It has been for a while. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Anybody and everybody. But if anybody likes the idea for next year, I hope, maybe.
Well, I'm certainly really keen on that. Again, that's one of those projects that's close to my heart. So, I'm really keen to assist if I can. So,
it'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be really, really cool.
If we took over the top part of the university.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. I think
had a little room where they could do talks. And
of course, now that you've mentioned that idea, well, you are going to probably fall to organising that. So, There you go.
I've took the brownies away for weekend before now. It's not the organising bit doesn't scare me.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Vicky, and thank you, Hacker Public Radio, for letting me take over for a short spell.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's it for now, definitely.
Did you have any contact details if people want to get hold of you to help out with your project?
Not as of yet. I'm not on. We can contact Michael Rimmickins and he can tell me.
Okay.
That's my husband. And if you're interested in girl guiding, it's just, I think it's www.girlguiding.co.uk.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. I'm here at Og Camp 13 and I'm sitting and talking to a friend I made at the last Og Camp, whose name is Caddy Ranyards. Is that right, Caddy?
That's right. Yeah.
I can read your badge, yes, obviously.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know how you found this Og Camp. What has stood out for you this time round?
I think what stands out for me every single time I come to an Og Camp, or twice of it, is the friendliness and the inclusiveness in the community. Because I'm not a 20-year-old woman, I feel quite on the sidelines very often.
Yes.
And it's nice that there is such a feeling of inclusivity among the generations. We've got children here, we've got a baby here, a little toddler, and we've got people up to quite a advanced years, really, I think. So I'm not the oldest by a long chalk, but I've been made to feel very welcome both times. And I'm not heavily into coding, I'm not a developer, but I've been included and I've learnt so much. It's really good. It really is good.
Is there anything in particular that you've seen or session you've attended that's stood out for you?
I missed the session I really wanted to go to yesterday, but I did go to the podcast, the open podcast yesterday, with I think there were six people on the panel, and I learnt a lot from that. There was a lot of news and a lot of stories that I want to pick up on.
Right.
You get headlines and you think, oh, I need to look into that. And I also went to something on UEFI, which is a system of locking the boots, boot sectors, and that scared me witless. It really did. I've just bought for my mother a new PC, which we've sourced, and I've just gone out and sourced that, and I didn't check it because I didn't know whether it's got
UEFI. It's an easy trap to fall into.
It is.
So was the outcome of that talk positive or
it was
not?
It wasn't as positive as I'd hoped. It left a lot of questions unanswered, not because they haven't done the research, but because there is no clear answer yet about how we're going to get around this. There's a lot of suggestions, and I think one of the key things is Og Camp is a place where we decide what we're going to do as a community.
Yes, yes.
We make people aware of issues and collectively, and come up with collective answers, and we spread the word about these things. UEFI, we need to spread the word that certain organisations like Samsung and Dell are locking their machines and we will not be able to put Linux on them, and that is really worrying.
Yeah, that's scary, isn't it? Yeah.
It's scary for us as open source advocates.
Yes. How is it that they're allowed to do this in the current world? This is the thing that puzzles me.
Who stops them?
Well, exactly,
this is the problem.
Yeah.
Yes, we should. And I think Og Camp is part of building our collective consciousness. As an old feminist, we used to have consciousness-raising groups, which usually descended into which was the best soap powder. It was dreadful. But this is our consciousness-raising thing. It raises our consciousnesses as consumers of technology to argue about what we need to put forward arguments, basically,
yes,
and to act act together as a community to fight it. It's activism in work.
Who is it that's deciding that they have control over what we, the consumer, can and can't do? It's the thing that irritates the Festival trend. So, let's get out there and fight.
Yes, let's get out there and
fight. Yes.
We are activists. In coming here, we are activists. And it's not about a political party. And some of us might be conservatives. I'm not. And some of us might be well on the left-hand side. And some of us might be anarchists. That's where I really sit.
Yeah.
But we are all activists for a certain cause.
Absolutely,
and it crosses all boundaries.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that sounds like you've got a lot out of this conference.
I have done, yes. And a lot of friendship. And a lot
Of
contacts. And a lot of new leads to learn further. So each time I come back to Ockham, I've learnt something new to share and to question. It's Ockham last year that got me thinking about learning programming, because up until then I hadn't really considered that I could do it. Now I'm on a programming course. Next year I will be coming back saying, right, I've got this program to do this. And I've already worked out what the program's going to do, and I've forgotten what it was. But I thought, I can do that. I've got a note of it somewhere, my son knows
something. And you're going to do some HBR on your experiences,
I am indeed.
Oh,
yes. And I'm also going to do one on the... Well, I'm saying this. Now I'm committed myself now, haven't I?
I haven't tried to manoeuvre you into this.
No, of course you haven't. But I'm also going to do one comparing Prince 2 and Agile, because I've found Agile project management to be very interesting. I've heard bits of it mentioned in various bits and in talks with other geeks while I've been here. And I had a long discussion about Agile with another attender, and I'm really interested, so I should go away and look at that as well. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next year, hopefully.
Yes, okay.
You ready right now? It goes that quick.
Hello.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and I'm with...
Stacey Driver at Ragworm UK.
And it looks like you guys make circuit boards.
Yeah, we developed a new service to make prototyping circuit boards in the UK more accessible to the wider market. So stripped back minimum quantities, minimum order values, made it all an online process where you simply upload files and dimensions and pay via PayPal.
Oh, good. And is there a certain limit or a quantity you have to buy, or it can be a one-off?
No, it can be as small as a one-off. So if you've got a very small circuit board, it might end up costing about £1. And you can just buy that one board, so there's no tie-in, there's no minimum value that you have to do at all, like making it really accessible for anyone to go and buy a professional board.
Oh, very nice. Now, I'm from New York. Can I order from you guys and they send it over?
You certainly can, yeah. We'll ship to anywhere in the world. The site is actually a .eu site. We wanted to make it so, although we're champion UK manufacturing, we wanted to make it a service that was accessible to anyone, anywhere. So no matter where you are, you can go on the site, order your boards, and we'll send them out to you.
Oh, that's very cool, yeah. So you want to give out a URL?
It's www.ragworm.eu. And you can go on there. If you Google orange boards or search orange boards, orange PCBs will come up as well.
Oh, very good. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
You're going to lunch. You going to talk?
No.
Okay. Hello. I'm here with the chief.
Hello.
How are you, Les?
I'm fine, yeah.
So how's it going?
Really well. Yeah. Really good turnout this year. Lots of people, lots of things going on.
Did you guys ever think we'd get to 5? I mean, way back when in that little...
Back in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
90
amazing.
People in the Connaught Hotel in Wolverhampton. It's the day after Log Radio Live, yeah.
And it's growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, 450 people signed up this year.
That's
amazing.
It's great fun. So you're running around with the earpiece in. Agent Smith getting everything coordinated.
Yeah, crew are fantastic this year, as they are every year.
Yeah.
All I had to say this morning is, you're here, you're there, and that's it. They run with it. No more instruction needed. And with so many crew that I've got, I can rotate them around so no one's stuck in a room being bored all day. They can go out and enjoy themselves.
That's good, yeah. Just You're sending them out with walkie-talkies and...
Walkie-talkies, yeah. A few harsh words as well, but hey.
You got to keep them in line.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They get a free T-shirt out of it, though. That's
free T-shirt.
Full payment.
And a mug as well, the stainless steel travel mug. You can't beat that.
Hey.
You haven't got one?
No. I didn't pick a bag up this morning.
Let's see what I can do.
And then for about a £10 note, you'll turn a blind eye when we throw sparks at certain tables.
Yeah, I was impressed with the electrical duties you performed this morning.
We'll say there will be a picture somewhere, but we were stepping on an electrical cord and sparks went, and the whole table went down, and we fixed it with a Leatherman knife. And
that's the way it should be.
And you didn't. You just turned the other way. as long as there was no fatalities.
It was very inconspicuous how you had four people stood around the socket with their backs to the person who had the Leatherman cutting the wire. Yeah.
And they're asking me, an electrician, how to fix it. And all your plugs look different and all your wire colors are different. You guys take your own guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no incidents. So.
You've got a 1 in 3 chance. So.
Okay, thanks for talking to us.
No problem, Bill.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Right, so we're here at the Does Liverpool table, and a lot of cool-looking stuff here. I'm with a chap called Paul, and hopefully he's going to tell me a bit more what this stuff does.
Yeah, so Does Liverpool is a makerspace and co-working space in the heart of Liverpool. So on our table today, we've got Bubblino, who is a Internet of Things character who connects to the internet. And at the moment, every time somebody talks about Ogcamp,
yes,
he will blow bubbles on Twitter. Sorry.
On Twitter,
he listens on Twitter,
right?
And he'll blow bubbles in response.
It's been blowing quite a few bubbles.
It's been blowing quite a few bubbles. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also have the Map Me Out Where Dial, which is a location reporting device. So we've got a couple here. One which is probably showing where John is. One which is showing where the ferries are.
All right.
So the big one here with the ferries at the moment, you can see the ferries out in open water. When it docks up, it'll move down to whichever.
And that's the ferry. Obviously, it comes into Liverpool, but
so it goes into Liverpool and then goes over the water to the Wirral and up and down. Or if it's Morsel Pebble, we get a bit.
All right.
I think that's when it's in Manchester.
Okay. So, how many people attend your hackspace? Is it? I've heard Dan talk about it.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We don't really have sort of a core membership, but we have probably, I think on our books of people who come, we've got about 120 people.
That's quite a few then.
And then we have people who work out of there. So we've got about 12, 13 people who work there on a full-time basis.
Right.
Another 20 or so, I think, who are in at least once a month.
Right.
On a sort of hot desking basis.
Yeah.
We've got a mix of people who are freelancers or people sort of remote working for large companies as well.
Okay.
Who just need a base in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then in the workshop we have mostly artists actually making use of the laser cutter. It's a big draw there. We've got a lot of people who are putting sort of their designs into sort of more physical forms.
There's a video of that happening over here. Is that the laser cutter?
Yeah.
I wanted to get some photographs and put along with this link to it. So.
Cool.
Yeah. And what have you enjoyed about Ogcamp so far?
It's just actually more just going around talking to different people.
That's all right. I haven't seen a single talk yet.
Yeah, so it's a good opportunity to sort of bump into people who don't not either know from other events, sort of catch up with people, or just see what sort of projects people are working on.
Yeah.
So it's always a good event.
I'm kind of relying on the talks being put up to listen to later.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Cheers.
And thanks for showing us around.
No problem.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm here with
Amy Mather.
And you're doing a talk today?
No, I did a talk yesterday somewhere else.
Oh, what was your talk about?
I was talking with someone from the Raspberry Pi Foundation at Wired Next Generation.
Oh, very cool. I just got my Raspberry Pi, so what can I do with it?
What can you do with it? You can do whatever you can imagine with it. You can make robots, you can watch television on it, you can do whatever you really feel like doing.
Very cool. So, now you did do a talk, did you say? Yesterday,
but not here.
But not here. Is there any way we can see that? Is it going to be online?
There's lots of videos of me talking online if you'd like to see them.
Do you have a URL or we can search
it? I think there's a tiny URL, Amy Mather, I think.
Okay.
That's got one of them on it.
Okay, we'll try and put it in the show notes.
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right. Oh, I'm running out of battery. Hello, this is NY Bill and
Marshall.
And we're here at a booth where someone just sold me my Make My Own Arduino kit. So
right, yes.
Tell Hacker Public Radio about this.
Okay, well, any electronics engineer would know how to replicate an Arduino.
Mm-hmm.
But typically in education, it's too difficult to understand data sheets and to figure out how to create your own Arduino yourself. So we're trying to curate some of the knowledge that's needed, providing supporting kind of graphical material, walkthroughs, tutorials, and so on, so that kids in schools can put together their own Arduino compatible projects. It's really important for educators, obviously, who themselves may not be electronics engineers, but building stuff from components on breadboards, not only cheaper, but it's more educational because you figure out some of the fundamentals of what you're building.
Yes. So you have some different kits here that we'll give out the URL in a bit, but can you walk us through the kits quick?
Okay, well, you've got the core components that you need in any Arduino compatible. So that's just the computer, the chip, the microchip at the center, and its supporting components. You need to stick it onto some kind of substrate like breadboard or stripboard or solder it. So we've got various options here today, including some expansion packs, which come with their own breadboards, but are designed to deliver a particular project. This one paints text and icons in the air using just 8 LEDs. It's an extremely simple build that can be done in something like 40, 45 minutes in a typical workshop. This is a more complex build, which makes a Simon game
from the 70s.
The 80s. You can hear it here. I don't know if you put there.
Oh, it's the same sound too.
Yes, that just actually brought me back too.
So that kicks off with a little tune, and then you have to remember the kind of sequence.
Yep. We had the big, huge one. Remember that the original took 4D batteries or something.
Exactly. Yeah, very cool. I still got one of those. Yeah. And so at this point, I might make a mistake. And then, oh dear.
Yeah, it even sounds like it. Very cool.
It's just a bunch of backlit LEDs, essentially, a beeper, and some custom code, which, obviously, in the process of building it, you see how the thing's put together, you see the code when you upload it, and we encourage people to adopt certain tasks like changing the text that paints in the air on the persistence of vision, or changing the tunes that are played. They're Nokia ringtone tunes, so it's dead easy to dive into the code and change that. But at that point, of course, you've subtly started to get familiar with there's code, there's this development environment.
Just sucks
I wonder
you in
what
bit,
happens
yeah.
if I change that number.
Very
That's
cool.
the aim of the game.
Well, this would fit right in with the Hacker Public Radio crowd, so if you want to give the URL... Did I ask you your name, by the way?
My name's Kevin.
Kevin,
the project's
sorry
called
that.
Shrimping It. Yeah. We're available online at shrimping.it or at Shrimping It on Twitter.
Okay.
So get in touch any way we can help people. All of the material that we share freely for people to replicate. And
Very good. Did you have a question?
No, it's just awesome. I'm going to check out the website and...
If you stick around too long, he got, £7.30 out of me.
Yeah.
One thing I've got to say, yes. which is quite important, what we're doing is open design. So if somebody wants to replicate the projects that we provide, we sell them here at twice our wholesale costs. But if you're a Hackspace or a Classroom and you need to make 50 of them, you should buy them direct from the wholesaler.
Okay.
And so at the... On the URLs on all our kits, if you go there online, you'll find all of the information of where we buy it and what it costs us to source all of those parts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to scale up to 50 or 100 people, you know, you've got the bare bones costs and all of the freedom that you need to experiment and explore that.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Pretty awesome.
Thank you for your time.
Cheers.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.